The Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by this devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you don't dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Like many of you, I have been both the target and the recipient of phone calls and scams. And one of the things that make these so effective is that they give you the impression that you're going to get something for nothing. You're going to get wealthy, or you're going to get everything you've ever dreamed for. You're going to go on this trip and it'll practically cost you nothing. There are all kinds of wonderful things they use to entice you. And one of the temptations is to say, "Sounds good to me," and then you're on their list. Well, actually, you were on their list before. But I've also learned that anytime somebody calls and you don't know who they are, they'll ask you if you are so and so. And a mistake that most of us make, I do all the time, is say yes. Don't say yes, because they record your yes. And then they can put it with an order for who knows what. And if you complain, they can play the recording and say, "Oh, you said that." But again, the temptation is to get what is being offered, and it sounds so wonderful. We all face that. Now, Adam and Eve were not tempted by telemarketers. They were tempted by Satan himself in the form of a serpent. And Adam and Eve had everything. You would think, how could they possibly be tempted? They've got everything they need to eat. They don't need clothes because the world is so nice and warm and comfortable all the time. What more do they need? And yet Satan points to the one thing that they're not supposed to touch. And, of course, being human like we are, they fell for it. But I like the part right after that where God is walking in the garden right after this particular reading. And God says, "Adam, where are you?" And Adam finally comes out. And he says, "Why were you hiding?" "Well, we noticed that we were naked.
And I've often thought of this whole part of the book of Genesis as being really kind of a comedy. I mean, think about it. God has seen everything there is to see. He created it. So why are you trying to hide your nakedness? But this word naked, actually, in the Hebrew, refers to being not just physically without clothes, but to have every thought, everything that goes through you seen and visible. You know, think about, you know, the thoughts that go through your head. Would you want everybody to see all those? That's real nakedness. But then they blame the serpent. It was all the serpent's fault. And then they start blaming. Adam blames Eve. It was that woman. She started it. She took the first bite. Okay? But it goes even deeper than that. Adam says, it was that woman you gave to me, God. It's all your fault. Now it's all God's fault. Wow. But in some ways, it's kind of like the way in which we deal with temptation too. We'd like to find an excuse, someone else to blame. In our gospel today, there are three major temptations that Jesus faces. They are the temptation to power, to popularity, and to possessions. Three P's. Easy to keep in mind. Because we have the same temptations. We really do. The first temptation, of course, is that he has been in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights fasting. Have any of you ever done a 40-day fast? I have. I've done it a couple of times. It's really quite a neat experience. Although the recommendation, of course, is that you drink lots of liquids during that time. And that, one, you have a Sabbath in which you can eat. You know, the Muslims have Ramadan where they fast for this long period of time, but their fast ends at sunset. So that as soon as sunset's over, they can eat again. In my case, I would eat one day a week, and I was supposed to eat lightly. My problem was I was tempted to eat a whole lot. Because I hadn't eaten all week. And that got me in more trouble. So I learned, it took a long time, but by the time Easter came, after 40 days, Easter breakfast really tasted good. Well, Jesus has been fasting for 40 days, 40 nights out there in the wilderness. I would guess he's been drinking all along. I don't know that he was eating on the Sabbath. I don't know his schedule, but I do know that at the end of it, I understand from experience that he was famished. He was hungry. And there was nobody there to serve him Easter breakfast. Only the devil was there to say, oh, look at all those stones. You know, Jesus, if you just turn those into bread, it'd be fine. You could have a whole chain of bakeries. In fact, we could do that here in the Rockies, in the Bighorns. There's lots of rocks around here. Imagine turning all them into bread. Well, there'd be bread for the whole world. But Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Father. The second temptation was one in which the devil takes him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the pinnacle of the temple, the highest point on the temple. And remember that the temple was built on the highest spot in Jerusalem. So it's really way up there. And he says, look down there. You know, Jesus, if you just throw yourself down, the angels of heaven would come and pick you up so that you didn't dash your foot against the stone. And think of how people would be wowed by that. Wouldn't that make you important and popular? Well, there are a lot of people who think of the temptation of having that kind of popularity as being important. People fall for the temptation to drinking, to drugs, to gambling, to you name it, thinking that it's going to make them more popular. This is surely especially for the teenagers who see all of these things and would like to be part of the in crowd. Adults aren't immune to that because many adults get hooked on all kinds of things. We had a group in one town I was in who had a key club. They were tempted by a key club is one in which a group of people would get together and they would throw their keys in a bowl and then they would draw a key and that's the person they would go home with. Temptations are all around us every single day in every way. So then that's the temptation to popularity. But there's also the temptation to possessions. The devil takes Jesus to a great high mountain, they said. I don't think it was a mountain. I'm going to read something into this. I think it was a spaceship that took him up to a satellite where he could look down on the whole world. That's my interpretation. They call that eisegesis. Eisegesis is a big word for reading into the text what's not there. Okay? So, but anyway, he can see the whole world. And the devil says, do you know what? If you bow down and worship me, I'll give you the whole thing. Wow. That sounds tempting, doesn't it? To have the whole world. But then I think of this as being the comedy of the whole story too here. Because as Jesus looks down on all of creation, who created it? Huh? God. Who owns it? God. Whose son is Jesus? God. It's already his. And he's going to give it to him to bow down and worship him. But how many people bow down and worship Satan, thinking they can gain the whole world that doesn't belong to Satan? We are called upon to remember the gifts that God gave us. Does anybody remember what our mission statement is? Oh boy, somebody had it. Using God's gifts, we seek to serve. Using God's what?
Gifts.
Everything we have is a gift from God. Everything we are is a gift from God. There's a fable about the creation in which all of the animals after creation were just really happy. All of them were celebrating and running around here and there and doing what animals do, just having a great time. Except the birds. The birds were really upset. The birds were just plain furious. After all the other animals could run free and do whatever they wanted, but here they were. They were cumbered with these things on their shoulders. These things that were just heavy, and they had to put up with them. And there was nothing they could do. And then one day, one of the birds, maybe Jonathan Livingston Seagull, I don't know which one it was, started moving those things on his shoulders, and all at once realized they were wings that would let them fly. Too many people forget the gifts that they have been given. Or misunderstand how those gifts are meant for their joy and for the purpose of serving the Lord. We remember those gifts as we seek to serve the Lord. They are not burdens. And in fact, Think about some of the burdens that you've encountered over the years. And then think about what those burdens may have led you to. God has given us gifts that are beyond our own comprehension even. And yet, sometimes we miss them. We are tempted to put them down and forget how blessed we really are. Really, we are. As the gifts of God come to us and we acknowledge them, we have the opportunity to serve, to share those gifts with others. Not hoard them, not keep them to ourselves, but bless others with the gifts that we have received. That's what we are called for. That's what we are called to be. And that's the blessing that God has given St. Luke's Lutheran Church. And that's the good news. So may the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. What was that mission statement again?
Using
God's gifts, we seek to serve. Let us serve. Amen.